This is a podcast from the Queen City Podcast Network.
This is Sports Charlotte, the podcast about sports in Charlotte. My name is Herb White. I'm editor-in-chief of the Charlotte Post. And as usual, I'm joined by...
me, Cameron Williams.
Yes.
Staff writer for the Charlotte Post.
Yes, yes. It's Friday, March 22nd, 2024.
Is March not flying by?
Seems like, well, when you get to be a certain age, everything is flying by.
Man, March is just... Well, it seemed to me like February was a little sluggish. Man, March
well, maybe that was because it was leap year February, too. They had that extra day.
Extra 24 ain't gonna matter. February is slow. Yeah. This is fast.
But it is spring, and it is NCAA tournament season, and it is in Charlotte, and there's a lot of stuff going on with that. But before we get into the basketball part of this, of course, legalized sports betting has arrived in North Carolina, and you can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now using code QCPN and bet $5 to get $250 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code QCPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-1855-43 or visit morethanagame.nc.com. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and used under license.
All right.
Now we're talking hoops. First day of the NCAA tournament at large is in the books. Observations from Spectrum Center, my good man.
It was a fun day. I mean, Michigan State shocked me.
How?
They've had a lot of off and on injuries and stuff this season. Had a lot of high expectations coming into the year, but first game of the tournament, already missing a pick in my bracket because I picked Mississippi State. Just the way they've been playing, real hot. But it goes to show, this time of year is all about coaching. Tom Izzo, legend of the game, legend coach in the NCAA. I mean, they routed them. I think it was 66. So it was like 15-point win. I mean, it was they covered their 1.5-point spread rather comfortably. And they're a team that I think could give Carolina some issues in the second round. Obviously, Carolina, once they got a footing against Wagner, they just kind of took off and ran away with that one. But Michigan State, historically known to make some deep tournament runs when they're not seeded high. You just look at 2015, it was a good example. They made the Final Four out of the top left quadrant. I'm not sure what the region was exactly during that time, but they made it as a 7 seed, beat the 2 seed Virginia, went on to beat the 1 seed out of that region. So they can stir the pot a little bit, and so it'll be interesting to see what Carolina does against Michigan State, and if Michigan State can continue that high level of play against a better competition.
Now, to me, all that sounds good, and coaching does matter a lot when you're talking about a one and done scenario, because we see it all the time in football playoffs. The NCAA, in terms of basketball, if you're bad one day or not exactly at your best, especially if you don't have the coaching that can make up for that deficit. It's also, coaching also creates culture where players take control of their own output. Mm-hmm. So I can certainly see that. And when you have somebody like Tom Izzo, he's the great equalizer in a lot of those instances. But of course, here in Charlotte, we're in North Carolina, which means we're also swimming in a lake of Tar Heeldom right about now. They look pretty good against Wagner. Was that just that North Carolina is just that much better than Wagner, or did Wagner shoot its best shot in beating Howard and just didn't have anything left?
little bit of both. When you talk about Wagner, they're a team due to injuries and stuff of that nature that they're only playing with seven players. They got two dudes on the bench. That was it.
And nobody's sure if they were really good players or not.
And so, I mean, that a lot of them were just playing gassed. I mean, when you're like Carolina, you've got a deep bench, a bench with guys like Seth Trimble and Jalen Withers, Charlotte kid who had a big game. It's a lot easier to get your starters some rest. And so I think there was a lot that played into that game, but I mean, Armando Bacot was half a head taller than anybody on that Wagner team, so it helped grab 15 rebounds, but a little bit of both. I mean, Carolina's a good team. I mean, there's nothing taken away from what they've accomplished this year and what they aspire to accomplish, but Michigan State's a different animal. Talk about DraftKings Sportsbook. Vegas don't seem to trust the Tar Heels. They were 22.5-point favorites against Wagner. They're just 3-point favorites against Michigan State. So we'll see how it goes. I'm looking forward to getting back out to Spectrum Center tomorrow. It could be an interesting game, as well as the Texas-Tennessee game. Not necessarily in our market, but Tennessee laid paddle to behind the St. Peter's last night.
But that was St. Peter's. So
hey, they made the Elite Eight 2 years ago.
Well, two years, you say?
I'm just saying, it's a team that made a splash in March, and Tennessee goes out there and handles business.
Well, and that's all fine and dandy. Legacy is great, but you can't live off legacy.
Very true.
So that's all I have to say about it. You have to go out there and handle your business.
We need to tell John Shire that.
Well, there you go. But I think that North Carolina in 3 points, that's, I don't know. I think that's overly optimistic, because in these instances, you know, if the talent is roughly even, mm-hmm. then the coaching separates winners and losers. Tom Izzo, he's proven. Hubert Davis is still finding his way. Yeah. Good coach.
He makes the Final Four and then doesn't make the tournament. Get to one seed in his third year, so it's
uneven.
Yeah, very uneven.
So if North Carolina can beat Michigan State, I think that goes a long way towards helping to solidify his reputation. Of course, now if he makes the run and makes it to the Elite Eight, Final Four, that really does help, because first year you get to the finals. Third year, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, this is much better. Or it could go into a different narrative that says boom or bust.
Yeah.
So he's early on, but it'll be interesting to see him match wits with Izzo.
It'll be interesting for me to see message boards if they do make the Final Four, and Twitter and stuff, because everybody was real high on Hubert in his first year, second year, everybody was wanting him out. And then this year, it was kind of shaky to start losing, but then they mount some wins together, and everybody's back on the Hubert Davis train. If they lose to Michigan State on Saturday, I wonder what people would say.
Run him out of town on a rail. Charlotte and Chapel Hill, But and then North Carolina's not the only North Carolina school that's still in the tournament. NC State is in there. They're conjuring up Jim Valvano, Lorenzo Charles, and Derek Wittenberg all in one.
They made paddle to behind it last night. I mean, I did pick State to win that game, and I even bet on State to win that game. I just thought their momentum going into this tournament was just really high, and I didn't think Texas Tech's offense had anything for them.
Clearly, and they didn't.
They didn't. So, I mean, had DJ Burns, for him to be the size he is, that boy can play some basketball.
He's a big'un. He has not missed many meals, and they sure didn't miss him. So, he is a real difference maker. He's a big dude, but not necessarily a tall dude, and he creates space, and he has a really good touch around the basket, and it's hard to deal with a combination like that.
And DJ Horn, that man's a baller.
He lights him up.
He's a baller. So, and now that they don't have to play the three-seeded Kentucky team, and they'll play Oakland, it'll be interesting to see how those two teams match up. Because I mean, I'm sure going into that game, they were playing around the same time, but I'm sure they thought they were going to be playing Kentucky, and then once Oakland beats them, then they get ready to take the floor, and then it's like,
okay, who are these guys?
Now we got to worry about going to win this game and then figure out the scout on it.
Yeah.
I mean, with a national brand like Kentucky, you kind of have a scout on them. You know they're
You've seen them a bunch. Yeah.
Oakland, it's not the same deal.
And this is not Oakland as in California. This is Oakland as in Michigan. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, for those of you who are not necessarily geographically inclined, that's your hint. It's in there Michigan. So have your expectations changed in terms of who advances on, or is it pretty much outside of the Kentucky loss, pretty much going according to what you figured it would do?
Yeah, missed the Mississippi State pick. I picked Duquesne over BYU. I think I've only missed like one or two other picks besides the Kentucky. Now, I did have Kentucky, I think, in the Sweet 16. So that's two.
You got caught up in that branding, didn't you?
I did. Well, I mean, they weren't playing bad basketball coming into the tournament. Not the best basketball, but in that region, based on where they were, I mean, I thought they could possibly get to Marquette in the Sweet 16, but trying to think. I don't have my bracket vividly remembered, but yeah, I mean, I'm still doing pretty well. Tied for first in our company bracket pool. Hope Gerald don't listen to this episode. He'll get salty. His bracket didn't say. But it's lived up to the hype. You had the upsets. You had some all that sprinkled in. Day two today. I'm sure we'll be watching some later this afternoon.
Yeah, there'll be another upset or three out there.
I'm sure. Just to bust my bracket a little bit more.
Yeah, and the thing that you can always count on, there will be an upset maybe in 11-3, 12-5. Hardly ever with 16-1, but that has happened in the last 5 years or so.
Yeah.
It's always
well, and I mean Long Island or whatever they had. They were up on Arizona at halftime, yeah, but then Arizona decided to play basketball.
Yeah,
because I mean Arizona's one of my Final Four picks. My Final Four was UConn, Arizona, Duke. Don't say anything.
I'm not saying anything.
And Tennessee. So my Final Four is still intact. Vermont wants to play spoiler to that. They can do that tonight at 7 o'clock when they face Duke.
And it very well could happen.
I know. It's March.
The Catamounts. Let's see what they do. Shifting gears, but staying in Charlotte. The Charlotte 49ers, who, in a surprise to me at least, isn't playing postseason basketball anywhere. And now they are going to have to do some reworking of the roster for next season.
Yeah, wasn't really a surprise to me. I know you call me the 49er aficionado. wasn't a surprise to me they weren't playing postseason basketball. They were not going to pay to play in the CBI again after playing in that last year. It's one of those tournaments.
And winning it.
And won it. But they didn't get an NIT selection because North Texas, defending champion, they were going to get into the NIT tournament regardless. SMU got in over Charlotte. Both SMU and Charlotte lost their first game in the American Conference tournament. I think if Charlotte were to have beaten Temple, they would have got the nod over SMU. But they both lost their first round, their first game in the tournament, and SMU had the head-to-head from back in January. The first conference game. And I think that was a sole determining factor. Sucks for 49ers fans. Kind of stinks for me because it would have been nice to cover some postseason basketball like I was able to last year, at least from a 49ers perspective. But, yeah, now they're starting to lose pieces like every mid-major school seems to do. And I know fans want to try to get away from calling Charlotte a mid-major, but they still are. It's just the nature of the beast. And, I mean, I'm an alum, but I'm just a realist, too. And they're going to lose players to the portal because everybody thinks grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah, well, but to be fair, even big, major, national brands lose they people. Do. They just don't necessarily shed three or four of them.
Yeah, and I'm just, fingers crossed, no more to come. Because, I mean, you got guys like Igor Milicic and Lekhi Patterson that still haven't said whether they're, you know, staying with Charlotte or entering the portal. So, but as of now, Dalen Berry, DeSean Jackson, who started at center all year, and Jackson Threadgill, who started the majority of the year until about early-ish to, well, probably late January, early February. And they've all entered the portal. Jackson Threadgill is using his COVID year to go elsewhere and play. So that's who they've lost right now. It's a big hole to fill, especially at that center position, because DeSean, he was a beast in there. So we'll see how it goes. I'm sure Fern is already working the portal, and he'll bring in some new guys. But to have a team and to have sustained success, there's got to be a want to bring, or a want from the players you bring in to stay. And I just think across with the age of NIL and the transfer portal, I mean, it's a complete crap show when it comes to the old ways of basketball, where you had sustained rivalries, where you've seen each other for 4 years and you just wanted to put them through the rim, you know? Long gone are the days of, like, the old school Kentucky-Louisville. Well, that wasn't even a huge rivalry. The old Duke-Carolina rivalry. Now it's just everything so
business-oriented?
Business-oriented. And, I mean, soft is a good word. I mean, no one... There's not heated rivalries anymore because of the new age.
Yeah, and I think that that is something that, that rivalry is built and lives mostly with alums.
Yeah.
But the players themselves, it's like, hey, it's just another game. And
but it should not be that way.
Right, because your options were also limited. Your transfer options were limited. Your professional options were limited. And they still are, because the NBA is still the NBA. Mm-hmm. And the NFL is still the NFL. And getting into that club takes some luck as much as talent these days. So, you know, those things where those geographical rivalries, or maybe coast to coast kind of thing, if you thought of, let's say, Notre Dame and UCLA back in the 70s and 80s in basketball, mm-hmm. or USC and Notre Dame in football, all that stuff is thrown out of the window now. And yeah, because conference realignment has changed a lot of things. And so now you talk about Charlotte losing to SMU, potentially keeping them out of the NIT. You don't have to worry about SMU next year. They're in the ACC. And it's an upgrade for SMU.
Just depending on what happens with the ACC and all, you know, the lawsuit stuff. But that's a huge jump for SMU. That could be a rough couple starting years for them.
Well, for basketball, no doubt.
Well, even football.
Well,
depending on who they lose. But I mean, if they can somehow manage to keep the conference together, it's going to be rough for them in football, too.
Yeah. So, but we'll have to put a pin in that one to see what other shoes drop with Charlotte and transfers. Seems like there's going to be some drama over in 49er land.
Yeah. Spring football is around the corner. So.
The other drama. Yeah. That gets underway next week. So I'm sure we will get a chance to check that out. Yeah. Absolutely. Another thing to talk about, this happened last week. North Mecklenburg High School won the state 4A championship.
Sure.
You were there for that. Talk a little bit about the Vikings season and your favorite high school player.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and then this is one thing, a lot of people that I've worked with and just friends of mine, we talk about, you know, I've been big on Isaiah Evans since way, way before he committed to Duke. I saw this kid as a sophomore, and I'm like, he just, and I was caught, I mean, I will put this out there, I should have been more loud about it earlier, but I called the kid Baby Ingram before it became popular. He reminds you of just a Brandon Ingram-style player. I think he shoots better than Ingram did, personally. But yeah, I mean, Vikings season, you just, 30-3, losses to some out-of-state schools, you know, bigger out-of-state schools, and so, yeah, like, they played Link Academy, who's nationally ranked, and, I mean, the Vikings rose in the national rankings as they made their playoff push, and, I mean, one of the best teams that I've seen around in recent memory, had a lot more complementary pieces that contributed than last year, where if Evans wasn't having 50 points, they weren't winning. This year, with the addition of Chadlin Traylor, who's also a high major recruit, NC State's recruiting him, it allowed just for more freedom of movement. He's a true point guard that really distributes well. And Trey Maxwell, older brother Tristan, who played at North, and son of
Vernon's boys, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He shoot just darn near 2-3 feet inside of half court. He's got some serious range, just like Isaiah. So it was neat seeing them win a championship. I think it was well overdue. I think they've had the talent for a while, and it was just all about putting the puzzle together and getting some things. And once they added a true point guard to that equation, it freed up everybody. So, yeah, I mean, it was cool. Just because, I mean, I've known Dwayne Lewis for a while now, and they had that 2020, excuse me, the 2020 championship that was, like, split.
The COVID year.
Because of COVID, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, but before that, I mean, 05 was his last champion, like, true win the basketball game to win a championship. And so it was cool for him. But Isaiah, he's, if he stays healthy and, you know, Lord willing, the injury bug stays away, he'll be in the NBA.
Maybe put on a little bit of weight.
Sure.
That but, helps.
Just getting in better strength and conditioning programs will do that to you. He'll add weight next year at Duke, and then everybody's projecting him as a one and done, along with his fellow teammates, Cooper Flagg and Kaman Mulank, if I'm saying that correctly, from the NBA Global Academy from Africa. But all three projected first round picks, and right now they got Isaiah going 13th in most draft projections. So wherever he lands, they'll beef him up a little bit more. But one thing you don't want to just take away from him is his quickness. So I would suggest not bulking him up too much because, I mean, he's very fast. I think if you put too much weight on him, that could be something that you take away from him.
So you want sinew, not bulk.
Yeah. I mean, his nickname's Slim for a reason.
Yeah, he is rather thin.
Well, you should. He's bulked up a lot since his sophomore year. Which was so crazy.
Yeah.
And that boy's a rail. So.
And it's not like they just blasted everybody on their way to the championship. They had to get past Myers Park.
Yeah. No, they did blast Myers Park.
Well, yeah. But
the game before that was.
But they had to survive Lake Norman.
Yeah, Lake Norman was a tough game. And Lake Norman's a team. Next year, they're going to be so loaded. They lose Santana Lynch, I hear talking that they're looking to replace Santana, who was their point guard, and they're possibly bringing in a transfer, but we'll see how that goes. But, I mean, they return Trent Steinauer, really good player. Clemson's looking at him. They got past them. Evans wasn't having his greatest, you know, shooting percentage-wise game. Still ended up with 30 points, 11 rebounds. But comes down, they're down two, just pulls up midi, cash, goes to overtime. It's just like the man's got ice water in his veins, clutch DNA. So he could be the next great one to come out of Charlotte. Bold prediction, I know.
There's nothing wrong with predictions, especially when they go right.
Yeah, I mean,
because I will be here to make sure that I remind you.
We know.
funny. Don't take it so seriously. It's all right. Hey, if you can't make the prediction, what's the use, huh?
Sure.
Absolutely. What are you looking forward to in the next 7 days?
I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Okay.
I mean, getting to see Michigan State and Carolina up close. I mean, two juggernauts of the game, at least in the last, well, I mean, Carolina last long time, but really since Izzo took over at Michigan State.
So you got selective memory because obviously you forgot the Judd Heathcote, Magic Johnson, Greg Kelsey.
We're talking about a gap. Where they were talented, then they weren't. Then they became talented again.
Everybody does that. Even Mighty
Carolina
Duke.
Had some sustain, and they rolled right on from, I'm not going to.
Oh, of course. Okay.
I'm talking about Izzo's made the tournament every year he's been there. So,
which is something Hubert Davis can't say.
No, it's not. And, but I think it's, what, 17 straight or something like that. I mean, it's crazy. And, I mean, Izzo's been there. Well, so he hasn't made a tournament every year, but it's 17 or 18 straight, I want to say. They were throwing around that number yesterday. It was still wild. I mean, I think it's the longest standing streak, if I'm not mistaken, in the tournament. But, yeah, just two juggernauts of the game going at it. You know, the final day for basketball at the Spectrum Center, at least March Madness-wise.
Of the collegiate variety.
Then the Hornets will
come back. Yeah. And play out the string. There you go.
We'll see. But yeah, I think that game tomorrow is gonna be interesting, and hopefully they move that one to prime time. I know the tournament doesn't necessarily like to. Okay, well these two teams played early, and then we'll let them play late. They normally try to keep it consistent. The two teams that played early will play early. Two teams that played late play late. But revenue wise, man,
CBS isn't gonna care.
That's right.
They're not going to care. And so I agree with you. I can't wait to see what tomorrow brings up. But for me, it's for a different reason. Part of it is because of the NCAA tournament. And the other is just to see what Center City will look like tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening, when you've got basketball over at Spectrum Center, Charlotte FC over at Bank of America Stadium. Whew, that's going to be a lot of folk. And not all of them are going to be at the games. They're just going to be out in them streets.
No,
and
crazy, man.
Hey, if you run a bar or a restaurant or a hotel, man, you are rolling in it today.
No kidding. I'm planning on getting to the Spectrum Center hours early, so I can get a parking spot up in the parking deck and not have to go to the top floor.
Yeah, so you need to plan accordingly because there's going to be a lot of folks in those streets and at those games. Now, I don't know if Charlotte FC is going to sell out Bank of America Stadium. Probably not, but they usually average around 30,000 folks or so, and you can only fit 19,000-20,000 into Spectrum Center. But again, there are going to be folks with viewing parties and things like that downtown. And so it'll be lively, no doubt about that.
Be safe.
Yeah. And so
if you partake in adult beverages, don't drive.
And don't wager any more than you can afford to lose.
Yeah, once you start drinking, turn off your phone. Delete your DraftKings for tonight,
or at least put it on pause. Don't get crazy.
Yeah, withdraw your money or do something. Don't go buck wild with the betting.
Yeah, so that's it for this edition of Sports Charlotte. We appreciate you listening in, and download us at Queen City Podcast Network. You can also catch us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and of course at thecharlottepost.com. For everybody at the studio here in North Charlotte.
Just two of us at the studio.
Well, but there's the at the office. There's support from everyone.
Supporting cast.
Yes, and speaking of support, support us with a subscription to the CharlottePost.com, our sports newsletter, because we've got one, and it can be off the chain sometimes. And just support us, because even though we're journalists, journalism ain't free. So
we gotta eat.
Help us out. Absolutely. We do. You know, got bills to pay. But from everybody here at the Charlotte Post, thanks for listening.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.